The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Yeah, seems like gone. Maybe a little bit louder. So how's that sound? Okay. So this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about thinking, mindfulness of thinking. And as an introduction to that, I'd like to say that many of you know that Buddhism puts a lot of emphasis on clinging and grasping and attachment as being at the root of how we have stress, how we have suffering. And in emphasizing clinging or grasping or attachment as being the root, then letting go of that clinging, letting go of the grasping would seem like an important part of the practice. In fact, it is. But it's letting go or becoming free or releasing some of the ways in which we get stressed, get tense, get caught up is best done when we have seen clearly the nature of what we're clinging to. That unless we understand well, or have seen well, it probably will just pick up that clinging again. It'll just come back. And so it's really good to take time to see carefully what's going on for you. And this is a seeing tradition that we're in. Mindfulness, the word vipassana means to see clearly. And so to see, and I like the word see rather than understand, because to understand sounds like maybe then there's a lot of things to understand. You have to kind of figure it out and, you know, and kind of analyze or something. But to really see, it's a very simple perception. You want to look and see clearly what's there. But you want to take the time to do that. And it's probably more important to see clearly what's happening than it is to let go. And if you see clearly enough, then letting go happens by itself. So in relationship to thinking, thinking for many meditators is a challenge, as the thinking is what often takes you away from the present moment. And so there can be an aversive relationship to thoughts, and there can be a lot of emphasis, let go of thoughts, let go of thoughts. But there's something very important about learning to see thinking, or to perceive it, really see it for what it is. And maybe you have to really see it fully, and only then can you let go of it. Only then will it release itself from you. And so taking time to really see what's going on when you think is good. So a few things to notice. First of all, some people have never paid much attention, careful attention to their thought or to thinking. What they've paid a lot of attention to is what they think about. And what they think about, the content of your thinking, that's really important. You get lost in it, get involved in it, negotiate at the world. But to step back and almost like you don't look at the content, but you study the fact, the very activity of thinking itself. Step back and look, oh, this is thinking. And then there's a few things to notice. One is to notice what kind of thinker you are. Do you think more in words, or do you think more in images? Are your thoughts very kinesthetic? Can you feel like they're kind of deeply connected to your physical body? Or you do not feel much connection to your body and your thinking is kind of disembodied in some way? It's not wrong to be disembodied necessarily with your thoughts. It's just different styles of way people think. Some people think a lot in words. Some people, it's almost as if they, and some people do in between, where they almost like they see texts in front of them when they're thinking. They think, and so some people are more verbal and they learn more from verbal learning or seeing things on text. Some people, maybe people who are more visual, tend to learn more from seeing, and they negotiate their world more from having images, and sometimes there's a whole play in front of their eyes, and they're seeing scenarios and seeing things how they unfold. And that's interesting to see the difference between, you know, this is the kind of thinking you are, the kind of thinker you are. You tend to think one or the other. Different circumstances, it might be one one way or the other. And then you can notice, it's possible to notice if you're thinking in words, kind of verbally, where is the loudspeaker? You know, where inside are those words being churned up or being projected or happening? Is there a location? There might not. You might not feel a location, but there might be a place. And it's not uncommon. Maybe it's more to do with the modern West than other cultures. But many people have experienced the loudspeaker in their head, between their ears, sometimes near the forehead or someplace. And that's the location where that little person is speaking. And so you kind of feel the location. And also with seeing in images, where's the screen upon which the images appear? Where's the stage? And it's not uncommon for people to say, well, just in front of their eyes, because their eyes are closed even. It's like they can see it right in front, maybe because that's where the eyes are. Associations are so strong. And some people find that if they notice there's a location where thinking occurs, that it's a way of stepping back and not being so involved or caught by the thinking itself. So it's a simple question, where is it occurring? And then part of this, where it's occurring, you can become aware of, are there any sensations in your body connected to that thinking? And if you have a location, sometimes that location, there's sensation, pressure, tension, agitation, churning, movement, leaning forward, pulling back, weighing down, lifting up, floating up. There's different sensations that can come into play that have to do with your thinking. And so if your thinking are subtle, those sensations might be very subtle and hard to discern in ordinary states of mind. But one of the great experiences is to sit in meditation and sit and mind your own business, be calm and relaxed and peaceful. Everything's going nice, and you're just kind of in your body, you're there, nice way. And then something occurs, some memory or some sound outside, or something reminds you of the person you have a high school vendetta with. You know, 20, 30, 40 years later, something reminds you, and all this fire comes up, and you're thinking, how could she, how could he? And suddenly you feel what it's like to be thinking about this juicy, wonderful thought. Wow, what a difference between how you were before, calm and relaxed, and how engaged and how physical the experience of thinking is. And you can feel the physicality, feel the center of gravity in your body shift. You can feel the energy maybe coming up into your head, maybe, or you feel a tightening, a constriction. So part of becoming familiar and really seeing thinking well is to begin being curious about how thinking feels in your body, the sensations connected to it, the physical expense that is applied in order to think. And sometimes it's easier to get some distance and not be so involved in thinking if you feel the physical quality of it, the energy that goes into it. It's interesting to notice the tone of voice of your thinking. So if you think in words, that works particularly well. So if there's an inner voice that does the thinking, whose voice is it? Occasionally I've met people who, I ask that question, and they kind of eyes go wide, and they say, oh, it's that, you know, that drill sergeant teacher I had in second grade that they internalized. Or, you know, they internalized a very critical voice that a parent had growing up, and always critical. And so there's always a critical quality in the tone of the voice. They realize it's not their voice, it's more something they've internalized. But what's the tone of voice? So if you didn't speak, whoever was speaking in your head was speaking a foreign language and you didn't understand the words, what would you pick up? Is it an angry voice? Is it a hesitant voice? Is it a timid voice? Is it an adamant voice? You know, is it a loving voice? So what's the quality, the tone of that inner voice that's doing the talking? And that can be fascinating to see that. That also has nothing to do with the content. And by seeing the tone, it also helps you a little bit get some distance from being glued to the content of what you're thinking about. And if you think in images, then what's the quality of the images? Are the images coming fast and furious? Are they slow and relaxed? Are they violent images? Are they peaceful images? Are they loving images? What kind of images are there? What's the tone? What's the emotional tenor of those images? What do you see? And then what is the common pattern of the tone, the emotional tenor of these things? And it's often seeing how there's common themes that are pervasive is very instructive, because they might be prior to what you're thinking about. They might be, the tone or the emotional tenor might be influencing how you think or what you're thinking. So to see and to step back and look, what's this? And then you can also notice the content. You can start keeping a kind of a running log of the 10 or 5 or 3 most common themes of what you think about. And some people have never really considered it. And so, but to maybe even keep a journal and kind of get a sense through the day or through a week, what are the common themes that come up and up and up? And you might discover that, unbeknownst to you, there's one or two things which keep reoccurring. You think about this over and over and over again. Same way of thinking or same concern. It's always having to do with finances. It's always about something to do with in relationship to someone else, having a conversation with people. It's always about food. It's always about sex. It's always about whatever, something. What is it that, what's the most common theme? And again, you don't have to go into the detail of it, but it's going to be very instructive to see the theme and see how often it keeps reappearing. And sometimes just seeing that takes the magic or the allure or the bait out of it. Because, once again I'm doing it. I'm thinking the same thing 100 times today. Maybe it's not as interesting as I thought it was. And so you kind of pull back. So to spend time looking or perceiving or noticing what goes on in your thinking, I think for many of us here in the modern world, is a really useful thing to do. To let it be unconscious or unseen, then it just churns away and affects us in subconscious ways and influences so many things in our lives. This is not analysis. It's not meant to be like a lot of work. But it's meant like if you're a tourist to your own mind. You know, you go to tourist San Francisco, they put you on the tour bus, maybe you get the double-deckers with the no roof, and you get to go across the Golden Gate Bridge, and you just get the good weather, and you just look around. You say, look, there's big buildings in San Francisco, look at that, and there's oceans and sailboats, and there's Treasure Island and Angel Island. Wow. You just relax, and you're having a good time. So the same thing with your mind. Don't make a big job out of it. Don't pressure. Don't try to fix something. And be a tourist in your own mind. Go on the magical mystery bus ride of your own mind. And just kind of, wow, look at that. Wow. Wow, I'm thinking. Wow, all my thoughts are angry. Wow. Wow, I am putting a lot of energy in my thinking. Wow, the last thing to notice with thinking, I think it's, I want to mention, which is really great. And this helps to have like good, you learn more about your thinking if you get caught in your thoughts really well. So you have to look for opportunities. Don't make the opportunities, but look for opportunities. They'll come soon enough. See if you can notice there's the thought that you have, and then there's the way that you relate to the thought. Meaning, main thing I want to focus on now is there's the glue that ties you to the thought, the magnetic gravitational force that keeps you engaged. And you could have a very simple thought. You could all of you, I'd like to ask you to have a particular thought right now. Maybe you have to repeat as a thought in your own mind. Maybe it has to be verbal or something. Maybe you have an image for it. Okay, so ready? Silently repeat this thought. Today is Wednesday. I don't think that's going to stick too much in your mind. It just comes and goes. There's not much to it. But then I can do this. I could, theoretically at least, give you the following instructions. Okay, today we're not going to do the temple cleaning. We do it. We have 15 minutes. And I'm going to have you turn to someone next to you and talk about the intimate aspects of your sexual life. Now I think probably there's a little bit more energy there than there was when I said today is Wednesday. You know, like, ooh, you know, like, you can't be serious, can he? So there's something more going on. So what's the glue? What's the energy? And to feel the gravitational force between you and your thoughts is fascinating to see. When you can't let go and you're pulled into them and there's energy. So be a tourist and practice wow. Wow, look at that. And don't try to analyze and understand that way, but see if you can see clearly. And if you have the attitude of being a tourist, it's all okay then. You don't have to fix anything, but you're just curious. Wow, this is what goes on in there. And as you become wiser and wiser, see clearer and clearer the nature of your thinking, I'm pretty confident you'll discover yourself becoming freer and freer of your thoughts. And when you're freer of your thoughts, you'll learn how to think more freely. Okay? Great. Thank you.